holding too many places here. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and hallowed it. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now to help us tonight. We need wisdom to preach. We need your power, touch of God, to preach. And I pray that you would help us. Help us to teach the Word of God clearly and distinctly. Do it in such a way it be beneficial and helpful to the hearer. Lord, help us do it in such a way to bring honor and glory to thy name for your great wisdom and your power. We'll thank you and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, the first commandment dealt with worship internally. Second commandment dealt with worship externally. And the third commandment deals with the quality of worship. And we'll take a few minutes and talk about commandment number 3, and hopefully we'll have time to do commandment number 4. It's my intention to do both of those tonight. Realizing that the Ten Commandments are the seedbed, the foundation of all the laws contained in the Word of God. They're some of the most despised and hated little passages of Scripture in the whole world. You can take the Koran down to the schoolhouse and nobody will say a word. You can take the Shastas, the Vedas, and the Targums and all the rest of the religious writings of all mankind. You can take them anywhere you want to and nobody will say a thing. But you take Exodus chapter 20, those little Ten Commandments, and post those on the wall down at the local schoolhouse or in the local courthouse, and watch the ACLU and all the rest of the liberal left-wing reprobates just go into convulsions. I don't know what it is that's so terrible and so horrifying in those few sentences that upset those people so bad. But they have literally spent millions and millions of dollars in court fights to rid our country of the Ten Commandments. Can't teach them to our children in school. Of course, now, when they end up in prison, then it's all right, but not in school. Ten Commandments are terrible writing as far as the world's concerned, but they hold some of the greatest truths in the world. And of course, the first 4 deal with God. The last 6 deal with man. But those first 4 deal with God and His place in your heart and in your life, and we'll talk about that for a few minutes. Now, in verse 7, the Bible said, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Now, in our society, we're so whacked out, and we've about lost our mind. Most of our country doesn't reason or think anymore. We don't worry about definitions or meaning of words or anything. We just we blunder through life anymore. So we've got to the place that when you say, "Take the name of the Lord thy God in vain," people mean GD. You can't say "God damn this" or "God damn that." That's taking the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And Christians are offended by it. And we get aggravated. And rightly so. I don't like to hear anybody say it. It just aggravates me. I used to have a little button that said, "My father's last name is not damn." Man, does that thing aggravate people. I used to have a little gospel tract that I gave out when I was in the Navy by the same title. It said, "My father's last name is not damn." And when you give it to them and then they read it, of course, it had the gospel in it. I've had people turn around, read that thing and turn around and come back and just cuss me out. But we've got to the point that we think that that's the only time and the only way in which we take God's name in vain, which simply isn't so. And so I want to talk to you about that for a few minutes, because that's what this commandment is all about. The name of God is holy enough and righteous enough that God wants it protected. He doesn't want it used lightly or flippantly. And when it says, take the Lord thy God's name in vain, that word vain simply means lightly, irreverently, disrespectfully, flippantly, wickedly, or falsely. And you're not supposed to use God's name in any of those ways. You say, well, preacher, what does all that mean? Well, let me give you four examples of how we misuse God's name and how we take it in vain. We take God's name in vain by hypocrisy. For example, we make a profession of faith. People say, I am a Christian. I'm a believer in God. We make a profession of faith and we own Him as our Lord and our Savior. Then we live a life that brings discredit and disrepute on His name. Our life is so loose, it is so ungodly, it is so unChristlike that we make a mockery of His name. We've taken it in vain. We've taken it falsely. We've taken it lightly. And so when you take the name of Christ and name the name of Christ and tell folks you're a believer in God, then your life ought to substantiate what your mouth says. There should be some walking as well as some talking. Amen. And when you don't do that, you've played the hypocrite. You're pretending to be a Christian and to love God, but by practical demonstration and outworking of your life in a daily practice, you deny that name. And so you've taken that name in vain. You've taken it wickedly and you've taken it falsely. You take the name of Christ, you ought to live up to the obligations of being a Christian. Amen. Not only do we take His name in vain by our hypocritical profession, we take His name in vain by promise breaking. We make a promise or take a vow or make a covenant or make a commitment in God's name. We'll say, by the grace of God, I'll never do this or that again. If it's God's will, I'll never, see. And so we bind ourselves to perform a thing or to abstain from something. And we bind ourselves using the name of God to give it emphasis and to make it important and to show our sincerity. Then, we don't come through. So what have you done? You've taken God's name in vain. You used it for certification. You used it for a source of authority. And then you never came through with your commitment. So you took it lightly. You took it irreverently because you had no intention, or at least you didn't come through with what you obligated yourself for. There's a lot of ways to take God's name in vain. You make promises that you can't keep, or promises that you don't keep, and you've... taking God's name. If you use God's name in the sense of an oath or a commitment, then you ought to perform that which you obligated yourself to. The Bible said, be not hasty with thy mouth. Let not thy mouth cause thy flesh to sin. Amen. Over in Ecclesiastes, it warns you to be careful about making an oath unto God. He said, it's better not to forswear thyself than to swear and not do it. And then he goes on and said, when I don't say, I just said it kidding. Because the angel takes it serious. You have a guardian angel. And when they hear the commitment, when they hear the oath, when they hear you make the promise, guess what? They take it serious. It's not a game to God. If you use the name of God, if you take the name of your Savior to make a promise and give it authority and support, then blessed be God, you better be careful that you do the thing. Amen. We use God's name in vain by rash swearing. That is, we fly off the handle or we impulsively swear, make commitments, and we use God's name. People say, I swear to God, if you do that one more time, I'm going to kill you. You do that one, I swear to God, if you do that again, I'm gonna break your neck. Now, you have invoked the name of deity rashly, foolishly. For one, you don't have any intention of killing a kid you're sweating through or threatening. Amen. Why did you have to go and drag God's name into it? Amen. You didn't need to get God into anything. You should have left God out of it. You should have told him, said, listen, you little monster, if you do it again. But don't drag God in. That's taking God's name in vain. There's a lot more to the vain use of God than GDs. Amen. People say, I swear to God, if he does that one more time, I'm going to leave him. Well, why do you have to swear to God? Why do you have to drag God into it? See, that's not an appropriate use of God's name. That's not a proper place to drag God in. You got problems, deal with them yourself. Amen. For one thing, 9 times out of 10, you were lying when you said it. He's done it 100 times before, and he's going to do it 100 times more, and you ain't about to leave. You just drug God's name in frivolously, lightly, flippantly, insincerely. That's to take his name in vain. We take God's name in vain by false swearing. Now, there's a difference between rash swearing and false swearing. Rash swearing is when you do that thing impulsively. You just get aggravated or irritated and you just run your mouth. And for little or no reason at all, you just drag the God of the universe into your conversation and make him a part of your little temper tantrum. But there's false swearing. You ever get on a stand down at the courthouse and they say, raise your right hand, put your left hand on the Bible. Which side I was on there. And you put your hand on the Bible and they say, I do solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help me God. And then the guy sits there and lies like a Persian rug. That's false swearing. That is wickedly using God's name. You use God's name in that oath to convince the person that's listening to you that the very words coming out of your mouth were going to be true and honest. And then you lied like a pig in the sun. That is taking God's name in vain. Amen? Not supposed to do that. It's a wicked thing. Say, why is that? Because God's name is holy. God's name is righteous. God's name is sacred. And it is not to be bannered about as a toy and used in every kind of human context imaginable just to make you look good or sound righteous or to convince somebody of your sincerity or your truth. We take God's name in vain when we use His name as a swear word or a byword. For example, down south, they're really bad at it. Now, them Yankees will say GD all day long. I hate going up north. They got terrible mouth on them up there. But these Southerners, in their pious holiness, use God's name in vain all the time and never bat an eye. For example, some Southern gentleman or some Southern lady will get aggravated or irritated and they'll say, my God in heaven, what did he do a dumb thing like that for? Well, why did you have to drag God out of heaven and get him in your temper tantrum? You know what you just did? You used God's name in vain. Down south they say, good God Almighty. Or great God in heaven. All those are vain uses of God's name. You've attached him or made him like a proverb or a byword.
You don't have to drag the holy God of heaven down here to earth and attach him to everything that you want to give emphasis to or to every person you want to impress. He's not to be used as slang. Somebody say amen. But boy, that, and folks will use terms like that all the time and never think anything about it. And then the preacher gets in the pulpit and said, oh, so-and-so made an ass out of himself. They all have a heart attack and go back and say, I'm not going to that church because that preacher cusses. You got rocks in your head. In the first place, an ass is an animal. A female ass is a jenny and a male ass is a jack. Amen. But I've had folks, they look at you like, oh, and he's supposed to be a preacher. And they'll say, good God in heaven, did you hear what he said? They cussed, I didn't. They took God's name in vain, I didn't. People say, this one, I really like this one. Because it sounds so holy and pious. Somebody that aggravated or irritated something, they'll say, oh, sweet Jesus. That's a vain use of your Savior's name. That name is holy. You got the point? Is it messed up your vocabulary already? Some of you are going to have to back up and regroup? Now, let me show you something. That verse said, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Serious matter to take God's name in vain. Boy, this old world you live in, they'll take God's name in vain and not think a thing about it. They'll cuss and swear and drag God's name all over the place and blaspheme that holy name whereby you are saved. That name that is exalted above every name under heaven. And they'll curse with it and swear with it and blaspheme with it. And God said that He would not hold them guiltless that takes His name in vain. When you take God's name in vain, you are going to pay for that. God is not going to let it slide. I would be very careful how I took that name on my lips and uttered it. Now, if what you're doing is honest and sincere and you invoke the name of God and you have every intention of carrying through with it, that's not in vain. See, it's not that it's wrong to use God's name, but it is wrong to use God's name if you are not sincere and honest. And if it's not used in a proper place and in a proper context, then you have misused it and misapplied it. And God gets angry about it. How many of y'all get a little touchy about your name? I remember one time I was at a Bible conference and they had Dr. Jim Vineyard was there. And Dr. Jim Vineyard's kind of always been one of my heroes. He wrote a set of little books about this big. They're little biographical sketches of all the great preachers and the reformers down through the ages. He wrote 50 of them. And they are some of the best little books you will ever read. It gets rid of all the garbage and all the superfluous stuff, and he boiled it right down in the nitty-gritty. About 50 or 60 pages on each one, and you've got the meat of their life and their ministry. I always loved that set of books. Dr. Jim Vineyard, I was in his Bible conference, and he was talking about what's in a name. And he said, now it doesn't bother me. He said, but it really bothers my wife. He said, because everybody calls me Dr. Vineyard. His name is Vineyard. But it looks like Vineyard when you look at it. And he said, everybody calls me Vineyard. He said, and my wife will get righteously indignant and tell them right to their face, his name is Vineyard. And I've seen a lot of people that if you persistently mispronounce their name, they get aggravated with it. I mean, who can say Kriegshauser? But you want people to try and say it right. Yeah. I mean, you don't want somebody deliberately making fun of your name. Now, I was listening. When I do a sermon, I get things on my mind, and I pick up the strangest stuff. And I was thinking about this thing the other week about taking his name in vain, and I heard this lady's name. You know what her name was? Amakapani. Danielle Amakapani. I thought, there ain't no way you could say that right. You'd have to use that name in vain. It took me 10 minutes. When they put it up on the screen, I kept looking at it, trying to figure out how you pronounce that thing. And finally, the announcer got up there and said, and so I knew from then on it was Amakapani. But what a name. But don't you know she wants you to say it right? I mean, that's who you are. That defines you to the world. Well, God's name is important to Him. And He doesn't want it used in a dirty way or a wicked way or a frivolous way. Amen? And God will nail people's hide who do that. He said it will not hold them guiltless. Now, let me show you how sincere God is about that thing. Take your Bible and look in Leviticus chapter 24. Leviticus 24. All right, we're in Leviticus 24, verse 10. And the son of an Israelitish woman, whose father was an Egyptian, went out among the children of Israel, and this son of the Israelitish woman and a man of Israel strove together in the camp. They're having a fist fight. And the Israelitish woman's son blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And they brought him unto Moses, and his mother's name was Shelomith, the daughter of Deborah of the tribe of Dan. And they put him in ward that the mind of the Lord might be showed them. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, bring forth him that hath cursed without the camp, and let all that heard him lay their hands upon his head, and let all the congregation stone him. And thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel, saying, whosoever curseth his God shall bear his sin, and he that blasphemeth the name of the Lord, he shall surely be put to death, and all the congregation shall surely stone him, as well the stranger as he that is born in the land, when he blasphemeth the name of the Lord, shall be put to death. And they... that's it. I'm sorry. I started reading the next verse, but it wouldn't. Now, you know what that guy did? He cursed and used God's name in vain. And what was the punishment? Directed by God. They stoned that guy to death. Now that's pretty serious. So it's not a light thing when we talk about thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. It's a very serious matter. It's never appropriate for you to take God's name and just use it in a casual way. Or to use it to impress people, to convince them of your position or your truthfulness. That's a vain use of God's name. And if I were you, I'd stay as clear of that as I possibly could. Amen.